booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome to the WABC Early News. I am Frank Morano, but Juliet Huddy is on vacation today and all week. She is going to be back, I believe, a week from today. Currently, she's having a good time in Italy, but we still have a whole lot of headlines to bring your way.
This is the top five at five.
This is a story that has been breaking overnight. Military forces detained at least five senior Sudanese government figures yesterday. Actually, today, technically, because it's a different time zone. Officials said as the country's main pro-democracy group called on people to take to the streets to counter an apparent military coup. The Sudanese Professionals Association, a group leading demands for a transition to democracy, also said there were internet and phone signal outages across the country. A possible takeover by the military would be a major setback for Sudan, which has grappled with a transition to democracy since longtime autocrat Omar al-Bashir was toppled by mass protests. We're going to keep an eye on this coup attempt in Sudan. Vaccines for kids between the ages of 5 and 11 will likely be available in the first half of November. Top U.S. infectious disease expert Anthony Fauci said yesterday, predicting a timetable that could see many kids getting fully vaccinated before the end of the year. He said if all goes well and if we get the regulatory approval and the recommendation from the CDC, it's entirely possible, if not very likely, that vaccines will be available for children from 5 to 11 within the first week or two of November. A 27-year-old woman was found stabbed to death on the front lawn of her Long Island home Sunday. Officers responding to a call of an injured woman discovered Megan Kiefer with stab wounds outside of her Coram home on Hartford Drive around 4:45. Suffolk County Police said that Kiefer was transported to Stony Brook University Hospital, where she was pronounced dead. Details surrounding her death were not immediately known. A homicide investigation is ongoing. Senator Joe Manchin appears to be on board with White House proposals for new taxes on billionaires and certain corporations. The additional income would help pay for President Joe Biden's scaled back social services and climate change package. Biden sat with the conservative West Virginia Democrat and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer at the president's Delaware home yesterday with the intention of resolving the dispute between centrists and progressives that has stalled the Democrats' wide-ranging bill. A person who requested anonymity to discuss Manchin's position told the Associated Press the senator is agreeable to the White House's new approach on the tax proposals. Colombia's most wanted drug lord has been caught. The man Colombia describes as the world's most dangerous drug trafficker told security forces, "You beat me," when he was captured during an operation this weekend. The government said yesterday that Dero Antonio Isuga, known as Otonio, was caught by Colombia's armed forces during an operation in a rural area involving more than 500 members of Colombia's special forces and 22 helicopters. Officials said yesterday that Otonio is accused of exporting hundreds of tons of cocaine each year, while President Ivan Duque said on Saturday he's also responsible for killing police officers, recruiting minors, and sexually abusing children. And that is your top five at five. We will have sports with Matt Sapienza coming up in 10 minutes. We will have traffic and transit with Joe Nolan coming up in 2 minutes. And we'll have weather with legendary weather person Lloyd Lindsey Young coming up throughout the hour. But first, let me tell you about what's trending.
What's trending?
As you will hear more from Lloyd Lindsey Young, there is a flash flood watch in effect from tonight, Monday through Tuesday afternoon. Flash flood watch for portions of southern Connecticut, northeast New Jersey and southeast New York. A driver lost control during a Texas drag racing event on an airport runway and slammed into a crowd of spectators, killing two children and injuring eight other people. A six-year-old boy and an eight-year-old boy were killed in this crash on Saturday afternoon. And we're also keeping an eye on this situation involving Alec Baldwin. The crew member who gave Alec Baldwin the gun was the subject of a prior complaint. Crew member says she's raised safety concerns in the past about the assistant director who authorities say unwittingly handed actor Alec Baldwin the prop gun that killed a cinematographer on a film set. Maggie Goal, a prop maker and licensed pyrotechnician, said in a statement that she filed an internal complaint with the executive producers of Hulu's Into the Dark series in 2019 over concerns about assistant director Dave Halls' behavior on set. Goal said in a phone interview on Sunday that Halls disregarded safety protocols for weapons and pyrotechnics and tried to continue filming after the supervising pyrotechnician lost consciousness on the set. Halls has not returned phone calls and email messages seeking content. And finally, Alyssa Olivier of Denver went missing shortly after arriving in New York City on August 2nd while on a road trip to the city, only to be spotted living on city streets 2 months later. On October 14th, according to a report in the New York Post, Olivier earlier this summer drove her 2000 Suzuki Grand Vitara to see her family in Kansas and friends in New York, but she fell out of contact with her family in early August after arriving in the city, leaving her relatives worried. Strange weather coming your way. Here to tell us about it is legendary weatherman Lloyd Lindsey Young. Hello, Lloyd.
Hello, Piscataway. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Lloyd Lindsey Young with your WABC weather. Well, we've got some serious weather to talk about. A flash flood watch is in effect, beginning late this evening through tomorrow night. We've got a couple of low pressure systems, one dropping out of Canada and one in the Ohio River Valley, and they're going to kind of merge and form a low off the coast of southern New Jersey, creating a possible mild nor'easter. That's right. All right, here's your forecast. We are going to be mild today, that's for sure, with above normal temperatures, partly sunny, low 70s. But by tomorrow, we will have rain in the tri-state area, becoming heavy, heavy rain tomorrow through tomorrow night, 2 to 4 inches possible in some areas, and northeasterly winds 20 to 30 miles an hour. Once again, a flash flood watch is in effect for the entire tri-state area, beginning, well, actually late tomorrow night, Monday evening through Tuesday night. So we'll be watching that very closely. It'll be cooler Tuesday and Wednesday with highs only in the lower 60s. So we'll keep you updated on this Monday morning. Lloyd Lindsey Young with your WABC weather.
Thank you, Lloyd. Here's what's happening in the country and the world. Muhammad Ali's grandson, Nico Ali Walsh, is celebrating victory in his second professional boxing match. Ali Walsh took on James Wesley the second Saturday night at Atlanta State Farm Arena. The 21-year-old dropped his opponent twice, once in the second round and once in the third, on his way to a win by TKO. And we are certainly keeping an eye on the situation on the West Coast. The West Coast is taking a beating from Mother Nature. Millions of people are bracing for more rain, flooding, and mudslides today after a storm system known as a bomb cyclone slammed into the northern part of the state yesterday, forcing evacuations in areas scorched by wildfires over the summer. Washington and Oregon are also dealing with weather woes, with power outages in all three states and two deaths in Seattle. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky says mix and match boosters are effective against COVID-19. Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, Walensky said the data shows that every vaccine approved for use in the U.S. can be used as a booster shot, regardless of what a person originally received. She added the FDA will be reviewing the use of vaccines for children 5 to 11 years of age and hopes to have a decision by the start of next week. And the woman who blew the whistle on Facebook says shareholders would oust the company's CEO if they were able to do so. Francis Haugen told The Observer shareholders are seeking one share, one vote. She then said she believes Mark Zuckerberg would be removed as CEO if those who own stock in the company had their say. Speaking about Zuckerberg, Haugen said, quote, he has all the control. And two of John F. Kennedy's nephews want the government to release the remaining secret documents about the president's 1963 assassination. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and former Rhode Island Congressman Patrick Kennedy are asking the Biden administration to make the records public now. The White House was supposed to release the records this week, but announced on Friday there would be a delay until at least December 15th, with a more comprehensive release in late 2022. RFK Jr. said keeping the documents secret is an outrage against American democracy, while Patrick Kennedy said Americans have a right to know. Actor James Michael Tyler, best known for playing the beloved Gunther on Friends, has passed away following a battle with prostate cancer. Tyler announced in June his cancer had spread to his bones, leaving him paralyzed below the waist. James Michael Tyler was 59 years of age. The long jury selection process in the murder trial of the three Georgia men charged with killing Ahmaud Arbery resumes today. Last week, close to two dozen people were qualified to be prospective jurors. Lawyers are looking to grow that number to 64 before reducing it back down. A number of people have already been disqualified for their strong feelings about the case. Arbery was shot and killed last year while jogging through a neighborhood where the accused say they believed he had committed a crime and they were trying to carry out a citizen's arrest. Thousands of John Deere employees are kicking off another week on the picket lines. The UAW represented employees have been on strike since October 14th. On Friday, the AG and construction machine maker announced striking workers will continue to receive benefits. This includes health insurance and performance bonuses earned before the union went on strike. President Biden and Pope Francis are set to meet in less than a week. Biden and First Lady Jill Biden will have a private audience with the Pope this Friday at the Vatican. The meeting of America's second Catholic president and the leader of the world's 1.2 billion Roman Catholics will take place shortly before Biden attends a G20 leaders summit in Rome. The two are expected to discuss a number of issues, including caring for the poor, tackling the climate crisis, and ending the pandemic. And we are still keeping an eye on this situation involving this Alec Baldwin film. Just to recap, the assistant director of the film production where Alec Baldwin accidentally killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins with a prop gun reportedly had a history of allowing unsafe working conditions. Prop maker Maggie Gold previously worked with assistant director Dave Halls on the Hulu series Into the Dark, and she told NBC News that the sets were increasingly claustrophobic with no clear fine lines and zero safety meetings. Court records show Hollis handed Baldwin the gun on the set of Rust before last week's fatal shooting, incorrectly indicating the gun was cold or didn't contain live ammo. 5:15, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza. What's happening, Matt?
Lots of sports today, Frank. Good morning, everybody. Ilya Sorokin made 42 saves. Josh Bailey and Matthew Barzal scored. And the New York Islanders beat the Vegas Golden Knights 2-0 last night. The Islanders recorded consecutive road shutouts after blanking Arizona 3-0 on Saturday. The Islanders improved to 22-4-4 on the back end of a back-to-back games under coach Barry Trotz, who took over in 2018. Sorokin, who started all six games for the Islanders, improved to 3-2-1. New York has played its first six games on the road, part of a season-opening 13-game road trip, while the team awaits the opening of its new home, UBS Arena. NFL's Week 7 action, with most of his top skill players sidelined with injuries, Daniel Jones did a little bit of everything for the New York Giants. He ran the ball, threw a touchdown pass, and even made a great catch on a trick play. Combine that with the best game of the year from coordinator Pat Graham's defense, and the Giants got a rare win Sunday against the slumping Carolina Panthers. Jones threw a 5-yard TD pass and made a spectacular one-handed 16-yard catch on the game's only meaningful touchdown drive in a 25-3 win yesterday. And for those poor Jets, the Patriots walked away from the field Sunday with the type of win that had eluded them. The Jets left with two losses, one that could further complicate an already frustrating year. Mac Jones threw two touchdown passes in his first 300-yard game. Damian Harris and J.J. Taylor ran for two TDs each. And New England won for the first time at home this season, rolling past the Jets 54-13. Ugh, what a shutout. I'm Matt Sapienza, and that's WABC Sports.
We could be in store for some rough weather over the next day or two. How rough? Well, let's say hello to Lloyd Lindsey Young to find out.
Hello, Lloyd! Island, especially Iceland. Good morning, everybody. Lloyd Lindsey Young with your WABC weather. Serious weather potentially developing for the tri-state area. We have a couple of low pressure systems and a flash flood watch will go into effect actually late tomorrow and tonight through Tuesday. We'll keep that flash flood watch in effect. Possible heavy rain at times developing, sometime later tonight and on into tomorrow. The potential for 2 to 3 inches of rain. Low pressure dropping out of Canada, and another one in the Ohio River Valley will merge off the coast of southern New Jersey and then move northeast, creating a possible nor'easter late into tonight and through all day Tuesday and Tuesday night, improving by Wednesday. It'll be cooler Tuesday, low 70s today, and only in the low 60s, but quite windy developing late tonight and tomorrow. So look out for that. We'll keep you updated. It doesn't look real bad, but a depth of change is on the way for all of the tri-state area. Again, flash flood watch for all of the metro area tonight through Tuesday night. Lloyd Lindsey Young, good morning with your Monday morning WABC weather.
And now, it's Huddy's History Hit.
Thank you, Lloyd. On this day in 1927, Albert B. Fall, who served as Secretary of the Interior in President Warren G. Harding's cabinet, was the first presidential cabinet member convicted and imprisoned in U.S. history. What was his crime? Fall became involved in the Teapot Dome scandal after leasing vast quantities of oil reserves to friends at non-competitive prices. Consequences came in the form of 1 year in prison and a bill for $100,000. Adjusted for inflation, which, as we've been telling you, is quite common these days, that's about $1.5 million in today's dollars. That's what happened today in history. All right, let's get a look at today's newsmaker. Today's newsmaker comes to us from yesterday's edition of the Cats Roundtable. John McLaughlin, who is a veteran Republican pollster who has served as pollster to Donald Trump, spoke exclusively yesterday with John Catsimatidis about how a presidential rematch between Joe Biden and Donald Trump might look.
You've got 55% to 37 that they're worried about the future of America while Biden's president. That's a huge number. And then you've got agree or disagree. President Biden's trying to get Congress to spend too much money. 61 to 33. Dick Morris helped us write that question. And when we asked them about, do you agree or disagree that under President Biden, they're stimulating inflation by spending so much money, 60 to 30, they agree, which is the biggest economic concern going on right now, because the Democrats are trying to jam through their spending bill because they think it's going to help them, actually going to make things worse. The Republicans are now winning for Congress, and Trump would win in a landslide right now. It would be an electoral landslide. He'd beat both either Biden or Harris. He's at Harris, 49-46 in the poll. Biden's a different president because, I mean, he ran as this moderate, and it was during a historic pandemic, and you're looking at an election where the guy they voted for isn't what they got. He's being run by the radicals. He's doing things that he said he wasn't going to do. And now you're seeing it's really we're moving into a post-pandemic age where you're seeing really new voting coalitions like of 21st century voters where the rebound, the bounce back, it's going to show itself in elections this year, you know, possibly in Virginia, because in Loudoun County, you have McAuliffe. Loudoun County is the bellwether swing county, and you have McAuliffe. And you have Youngkin, dead even tied. New Jersey, you got Governor Murphy outspending his opponents, running negative ads. And in places like Nassau County, where I'm working for the candidates, a Republican newcomer, Ann Donnelly, is beating Todd Kominsky because he was a sponsor of cashless bail. He helped write that law. She's ahead. And you can tell because Todd Kominsky is now putting in a big television buy. And, you know, I mean, the Republicans out here are fighting, and it looks pretty good because Joe Biden's upside down in Nassau County, and it's fueling the grassroots Republican turnout. And you've got the top issues are taxes and crime. I mean, Laura Curran, she's people may like her, but they say they can't afford a reassessment. A reassessment's, you know, like 7 out of 10 voters in Nassau say the reassessment, the taxes are going up, the school taxes are going up. It's not just county taxes. And, you know, their property taxes are going way up. So you got Bruce Blakeman with a shot for county executive, and you got Ann Donnelly beating a longtime politician who was supposed to be this fair-haired liberal Democratic state senator. But because he went for cashless bail, everybody knows crime is up in New York. Shootings are up, and it's affecting us statewide. It's not just they were telling people they were going to fix it, but they never fixed it. And look at Governor Hochul. She's come in. She hasn't fixed it. I mean, the radical wing of the Democratic Party is holding the rest of their party hostage, and the voters aren't going to stand for it anymore. It's gone way too far, and people want to get back to some degree of sanity, and they're going to take it out of in the polls.
That was John McLaughlin. You can hear the entirety of that interview as well as the whole Cats Roundtable by going to WABCRadio.com. That's WABCRadio.com. You can hear the Cats Roundtable every Sunday morning right here from 8:30 to 10. And then you can listen to the Cats at Night show every evening from 5 to 6 p.m. Some of the biggest newsmakers in all the world, literally, talk to John Catsimatidis. And that interview with John McLaughlin has already made a great deal of news all over the place. So that's John McLaughlin, President Trump's former pollster. All right, let's have a look at what's happening in entertainment.
It's the WABC Early News Entertainment.
A remake of a 1984 sci-fi epic is the new top movie in North America. Dune earned $40 million in its first weekend in theaters in the U.S. and Canada. Last week's top film, Halloween Kills, was second, taking in $14.5 million. Coming in third is the James Bond picture, No Time to Die, with nearly $12 million. Rounding out the top five are Venom, Let There Be Carnage, followed by the animated family movie Ron's Gone Wrong. Coming in sixth place was Adam's Family 2. And British pop star Ed Sheeran is self-isolating after testing positive for COVID-19. He announced yesterday that that he will continue any planned interviews or performances from his home. He said in an Instagram post that he was scheduled to appear on NBC's Saturday Night Live on November 6th. And in a post, Sheeran wrote, "Hey guys, quick note to tell you that I've sadly tested positive for COVID, so I'm now self-isolating and following government guidelines." He then went on to say, "It means that I'm now unable to plow ahead with any in-person commitments for now, so I'll be doing as many of my planned interviews as I can from my house. Apologies to anyone I've let down. Be safe, everyone." Sheeran had a slew of events scheduled ahead of the release of his next album, Equals, which comes out on Friday. Well, coming up, I'll tell you what the stock market did Friday and what it's likely to do today, and how what Washington is doing could affect the economy and your portfolio. We'll also have the Jet Set Juliet travel update with Barry Goldsmith and the top five at 5:30, where I'll tell you about the five news stories that you'll probably be hearing about all day, including one that probably broke while you were sleeping right after the news.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
All right. We still have a lot going on. We'll bring you the Jet Set Juliet travel report with Barry Goldsmith. I'll tell you what's happening in the world of business. We're going to check in with Sid Rosenberg, get a preview of what's coming on the Bernie and Sid show. We'll have sports with Matt Sapienza. But first,
it's the top five at 5:30.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says a deal is basically done for the human infrastructure package. On CNN's State of the Union, the California Democrats said yesterday there will be an agreement on the bills, and the plan is to vote on the bipartisan infrastructure bill this week. Pelosi said the Democrats are ready to fund the bills because they were originally ready to pay for a much larger number. And the woman who blew the whistle on Facebook says shareholders would oust the company's CEO if they were able to do so. Frances Haugen told The Observer shareholders are seeking one share, one vote. She then said she believes Mark Zuckerberg would be removed as CEO if those who own stock in the company had their say. Haugen is due to testify before the British Parliament today. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky says mix-and-match boosters are effective against COVID. Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, Walensky said the data shows that every vaccine approved for use in the U.S. can be used as a booster shot regardless of what a person originally received. She added that the FDA will be reviewing the use of the vaccines for kids 5 to 11 and hopes to have a decision by the start of next year. Actor Alec Baldwin had an emotional meeting over the weekend with the husband and son of the cinematographer killed in an accidental shooting on a New Mexico movie set last week. Helena Hutchins was killed when Baldwin pulled the trigger on a gun he was told was unloaded. The shot hit Hutchins, who was director of photography on the movie Rust, and director Joel Souza. And finally, a story that broke while you may have been sleeping. An attempted coup is underway in Sudan. Government officials have been detained. Phones are down. Internet is down. Military forces have detained at least 5 senior Sudanese government figures today, including the prime minister. The country's main pro-democracy group is calling on people to take to the streets to counter this military coup. The Sudanese Professionals Association, a group leading demands for a transition to democracy, said that there were all sorts of outages involving communication. A possible takeover by the military would be a major setback for Sudan, which has grappled with a transition to democracy since longtime autocrat Omar al-Bashir was toppled by mass protests. And that is your top five at 5:30. Still a lot of other headlines we're keeping an eye on, including a flash flood watch that is in effect from tonight through tomorrow afternoon. So be careful. And we're also keeping an eye on the situation involving Kyrie Irving. Anti-vaccine protesters rallied outside the Barclays Center yesterday in support of Irving ahead of the team's home opener against the Charlotte Hornets. Several hundred protesters chanted, "Let Kyrie play and stand with Kyrie," and occasionally sparred with security at barricades outside the arena. Irving's been suspended by the team over his refusal to abide by New York City's vaccine mandate to enter many indoor events, venues, and businesses. And on a somewhat basketball-related note, a pair of Michael Jordan's shoes from 1984 sold for almost $1.5 million at Sotheby's yesterday, setting a record for sneakers at auction. The 1984 Nike Air Ships are Jordan's earliest known regular season game-worn Nikes. The shoes, which are the first pair of sneakers to ever crack the $1 million mark at an auction, went for $1.5 million, were acquired by collector Nick Fiorella. The signed sneakers are from Jordan's 5th NBA game in his rookie season. Sotheby's said the red and white sneakers were designed by Bruce Kilgore. So not a bad payday. There will be no funeral for Brian Laundrie after inconclusive autopsy results. The late Florida man had been wanted in connection with his fiancée's death during their cross-country road trip. His remains were found in a nature preserve last week and will be cremated. So, no funeral for Brian Laundrie. There will be a judicial inquiry, and it's set to begin today in New York, involving Eric Garner's fatal arrest. The unarmed African-American father of six was killed in 2014 when former NYPD officer Daniel Pantaleo put him in a chokehold during an arrest for allegedly selling loose cigarettes on Staten Island. The process is expected to last 3 weeks, with more than a dozen NYPD members set to testify about their involvement and oversight in the matter. Despite initial requests, Mayor Bill de Blasio and Police Commissioner Dermot Shea will not take part. And this is interesting and potentially somewhat disturbing. A threatening message put a number of high schools in the U.S. that share the same name on alert over the weekend. Central High School. Reports indicate three juveniles were arrested in St. Joseph, Missouri, in connection to the alleged social media shooting threat. They were reportedly behind several messages issuing a generic threat against Central High School, posted to Snapchat and circulated around the country. Investigators determined the threats were not credible. Nonetheless, extra security can be expected today at these schools, all named Central High School. Let's get a look at weather with the great and legendary broadcast weather journalist, Lloyd Lindsey Young.
Hello, Cuscob, Connecticut and all of the tri-state area. Good morning, everybody. Lloyd Lindsey Young with your WABC weather. Guess what? A flash flood watch will go into effect later tonight through Tuesday and Tuesday night. Heavy rain possible developing late tonight and tomorrow. A couple of low pressure systems, one dropping out of Canada, and another one will develop well through the Ohio Valley and form a secondary low off the coast of New Jersey, beginning later tonight and then tracking northeastward towards Long Island tomorrow and tomorrow night. Potential of 2 to 4 inches of rain in the tri-state area, especially tomorrow and tomorrow night. And also, we cannot rule out a thunderstorm later tonight and tomorrow. Cooler tomorrow. Low 70s today and only low 60s developing for tomorrow. Lots of wind, too. We'll keep you updated. Potential relatively serious situation, so we'll be watching it closely from our weather lab. Hey, have a great Monday, everybody. Lloyd Lindsey Young, happy to be on board with your WABC weather.
Biz Buzz.
540, the opening bell rings this morning, ushering in a brand new trading week on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial hit a new record close to end last week as stocks finished mixed on Friday. Gains in American Express and Travelers helped boost the Dow to its first record close since August 16th. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial gained 73 points. The S&P 500 lost 4 points. The NASDAQ fell 125 points. Some big names are set to report their latest quarterly earnings this week. First up today is Facebook after the stock dropped 5% on Friday. Twitter, Microsoft, and Google parent Alphabet will report on Tuesday. Apple and Amazon also have reports coming out this week. Home prices are in the spotlight this week with the Case-Shiller and U.S. Home Prices Index, along with new home sales leading off tomorrow. Durable goods orders for September are due Wednesday, and Thursday brings the advance on third quarter GDP growth. The big story, though, economically continues to be inflation, something that is all too evident to you if you have tried to fill your gas tank or go to the grocery store. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the bipartisan infrastructure and social spending package won't accelerate inflation because the spending will be spread over a 10-year period. Speaking on CNN State of the Union, Yellen said the inflation Americans are dealing with right now is a result of the American Rescue Plan, but she doesn't expect it to be a long-term problem. Yellen said both bills will be huge boosts to the U.S. economy. She believes they'll make the economy more productive and help Americans get back to work. Yellen noted the coronavirus pandemic is still causing problems in the labor market, but says it's a good thing to see wages rise around the country. Yellen also urged Democrats and Republicans to get together on raising the debt ceiling and warned it would be a complete disaster if the U.S. defaulted. All right. Well, one of our hallmarks on this program is the Jet Set Juliet travel report. And just because Jet Set Juliet is away doesn't mean we are not going to tell you everything you need to know about the world of travel. And we have a really special guest to bring you today's Jet Set Juliet travel report. He is a unique travel expert who's brought his unique concept, been there, haven't done that, where he recommends sites around the world missed by tourists and even by many natives to his travel column, his radio show, television, and now he's here with me. I am speaking about Barry Goldsmith. Good morning, Barry. How was your weekend?
Good morning. Terrific. How was yours, Frank?
It was great. What's happening in the world of travel, Barry?
Well, Friday, I recommended places in the news, Washington, D.C. This morning, I'm recommending sites for people who report the news, our own Juliet Huddy, unknown and uncrowded sites in Italy that Juliet's visiting as we speak. Let me take you to Venice. She's going to Venice. She's going to be there in a few days. Venice is famous as a place where people actually wear masks for fun. Can you imagine that? Wearing masks for fun. If you want to see more masks, the history of masks, go to the Carrara Museum. It's in St. Mark's Square. People wait for hours to go through St. Mark's Cathedral, through the Doge's palace. The Doge is the leader of Venice, going back hundreds of years. Now, the Carrara Museum closes off the square, and you get great sights from any room in it. Plus, there are no lines. There are no lines, which means it's safe to travel. And after you've seen the ancient mask collection, including one with a beak that was worn by doctors during the plague of smallpox, whatever, there are also other great sites. Now, it's a city museum of Venice. And here's an overall tip. Whenever you travel foreign or anywhere in the U.S., go to a city museum. Art museums are a bit stuffy, but for kids, city museums are the best. And the Carrara Museum, what do you see there? In addition to masks, you see a Bible with a gun. You open the Bible and there's a gun in it, and it dates from the 17th century. So I would say it's America's freedom of religion plus the right to bear arms all in one Bible. Plus, you see platform shoes. And we're not talking platform shoes of the 1970s. We're talking about shoes mounted on stilts that people wore in the 16th through 18th century during flooding. And what you do when you go to London, you wait in line for hours to see the crowns of the kings and queens at the Tower of London. Here, you walk by and you see the Doge's hat that you see in paintings by Titian in stuffy museums. And if you really want to go someplace right nearby, it's the St. Mark's Clock Tower. You know how when you go to squares in Europe, they have every hour figures come out and they strike the clock and they go back in again? Well, you're standing below and you can't see it. In this clock tower, you can actually walk up, and on the hour, you see two giant Moors, bronze Moors, going next to each other and actually hitting the bell.
That sounds like quite a sight, Barry. We're talking with Barry Goldsmith, our guest travel expert today. Barry, if people want to get in touch with you, if they have suggestions or have questions about sites that they might want to visit or have questions about travel in general, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Okay. It's Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, dot Goldsmith, G-O-L-D-S-M-I-T-H, at NYU.edu.
All right, Barry Goldsmith. You may hear him again later in the week as Juliet is away. Thank you, Barry. 5:45, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza. Hello there, Matt.
Hello there, Frank, and good morning, everybody. Here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. Ilya Sorokin made 42 saves. Josh Bailey and Matthew Barzal scored, and the New York Islanders beat the Vegas Golden Knights 2-0 last night. The Islanders recorded consecutive road shutouts after blanking Arizona 3-0 on Saturday. The Islanders improved 22-4-4 on the back end of back-to-back games under coach Barry Trotz, who took over in 2018. Sorokin, who started all six games for the Islanders, improved to 3-2-1. New York has played its first six games on the road, part of a season-opening 13-game road trip, while the team awaits the opening of its new home, the UBS Arena. And NFL Week 7 action. With most of its top skilled players sidelined with injuries, Daniel Jones did a little bit of everything for the New York Giants. He ran the ball, threw a touchdown pass, even made a great catch on a trick play. Combine that with the best game of the year from coordinator Pat Graham's defense, and the Giants got a rare win Sunday against the slumping Carolina Panthers. Jones threw a 5-yard TD pass and made a spectacular one-handed 16-yard catch on the game's only meaningful touchdown drive and a 25-3 win. Things weren't looking good for the Jets either. They got crushed by the New England Patriots 54-13. And that's a look at sports at 15:45. I'm Matt Sapienza. I'll see you folks right back here tomorrow.
Check in with Sid Rosenberg. Get a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. We'll bring you the latest on the situation involving the CDC. And don't look now, but more news out of January 6th. I'll tell you about that right after this.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
We're going to check in with Sid Rosenberg in just a bit, find out what was on the Bernie and Sid show this week. But members of Congress and their staffs were apparently involved in talks about events to protest last year's presidential election. That's according to a report in Rolling Stone, which cites two individuals involved in the process. One is reportedly an organizer, while the other is a planner of the January 6th rally in Washington, D.C. that turned into a riot. They say Republicans, including Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, along with Paul Gosar and Andy Biggs of Arizona, participated in talks about the events or had their staff members join in on the conversation. So you can bet we're going to be hearing a great deal more about that. Here in New York, quite a bit happening as Saturday was the first day of early voting. Both mayoral candidates, Curtis Sliwa and Eric Adams, were out there trying to make their case to voters. The Board of Elections says more than 31,000 people hit the polls early since they opened Saturday. And I will be voting in 1 hour at 7 a.m. when polls open for me. And we're also keeping an eye on this story involving the homeless men that are recovering after getting into a knife fight that spans several New York City blocks. Authorities say the two men started fighting in Moynihan train station before it spilled out onto the street, and they continued fighting inside a pizzeria on 38th Street and 8th
Avenue. Inside a what? You want to say that again?
A pizzeria.
A what?
A pizzeria.
Okay.
This happened around 1:15 Sunday afternoon. The pair was taken to Bellevue, and both are in custody, but there's no word yet on what caused the fight. And in New Jersey, where early voting is also underway, both gubernatorial candidates, Phil Murphy and Jack Cittarelli, are making their case to voters and making the rounds up and down the state of New Jersey. Also in New Jersey, Mercer County is lending Trenton more than 100 handheld radios due to the city's aging public safety radio system. Mayor Reed Gosiura says the loan is not optimum, but it will have to do until a new system is put in place. He met with county officials to discuss the issue last week, but they didn't come up with an agreement that would grant the city a new radio program. A previous resolution from the American Rescue Plan of $4 million to fund a new radio system didn't make the council's docket, and the city has until the end of the month to come up with a solution. And now,
spectacular! 77 WABC Early News presents It's Sid.
What?
It is certainly Sid.
What did you do that? That's fantastic.
I didn't. I wish I could take credit.
Oh, my God.
That was Chris Libertini. Right?
Should have told me. I would have gotten naked before that. It was so good. God, that was good.
Then I'm glad we didn't tell you.
Yeah.
All right. Give us, how was your weekend?
Busy. You know, I worked 7 days last week.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Saturday, I went to Eisenhower Park on Long Island and got involved in a Veterans Day picnic with Laura Curran, running for Nassau County Executive. There's a kick to this story. I'll save it for Bernie and Sid, but someone else ended up on stage that Bernie despises and my audience hates too. That was Saturday afternoon. Yesterday, I end up in this place in Ronkonkoma, New York. It's a big warehouse section. In fact, when the Uber driver took me there, I go, is this a hit? Like, what's going on? There's nobody. And then I pulled up to this warehouse. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. America's first warehouse. You have to go to my Instagram, at Rosenberg.Sydney, or my Twitter, at Sid Rosenberg, and see these pictures of this warehouse, which is decked out in Donald Trump Republican stuff, posters everywhere, motorcycles, cars, an unbelievable event for Lee Zeldin, which I ended up hosting for 4 hours yesterday.
Wow.
So that was my weekend. Democrats on Saturday, Republicans on Sunday.
So I was out on Long Island, too. I would have crashed that event had I known you were
Lee, yesterday. Have you ever seen this place?
No.
Oh, my God. America's first warehouse. You got to check this place out.
I will
out.
Check it out.
Well, Joe the Box and PJ.
But what is it? It's an event venue? It's a catering hall? What is it?
It's an event venue, I guess. They've got this, their friend of the family, this guy Dave, who cooks and had great food there yesterday. Me? But they've got all these great events there. All these great events.
Level of excitement for the World Series?
Pretty excited. You know, I mean, the Astros are back for the, third time in 5 years, and we dealt with all that cheating nonsense a couple of years ago. Clearly, that was exaggerated, overblown, because they're back in the World Series. And the Braves are a pretty good baseball team, actually a very good young baseball team. It would be more exciting if it was Boston, Los Angeles. This is not what Major League Baseball wanted, but if you're a baseball fan like me and you, it's a pretty good World Series coming
and,
up.
And, you know, it's great in this era where they push these managers out the door as soon as they turn 65. It's great to see somebody in their 70s, like Dusty Baker, being able to manage in the World Series.
Oh, I agree. No, he's done a great job.
Are you making a prediction for the series?
Oh, I like Houston. Look, Atlanta's had a great year. That was a huge series win over the Dodgers. But this Houston team is so good. They can pitch. They can hit home runs. They can manufacture runs. Altuve will kill you. So I like Houston in this series. By the way, Houston was the 10th favorite to win the World Series this year. The Braves were the fifth before the season, but now, of course, after the season, the Astros are the favorite to win the World Series.
And the Braves are, in this politically correct era, they are sticking with that tomahawk chop.
They are. I mean, the Indians are gone, and, you know, listen, Florida State
Redskins
Seminoles,
are gone.
Redskins are gone, but there are some teams, Florida State Seminoles, Atlanta Braves, that still have it. I guess eventually it'll all be gone, but the Braves still have it, and you go to Atlanta, they still do the tomahawk chop.
All right. What's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show today?
Rich Lowry is always on a Monday, and a young kid, I like this kid. His name is Michael Henry. He's on the Lee Zeldin ticket. He's running for attorney general, and he'll join us as well. So light on the gas because of the big sports and political weekend. Rich Lowry, Michael Henry, and a lot of Bernie and Sid.
All right. Catch the Bernie and Sid show.
Bro, I love you.
This and every morning. You too, Sid. It is a pleasure to start my morning with you. Best morning show anywhere in radio, 6 to 10, the Bernie and Sid show. Don't miss it. Rich Lowry and a Republican candidate for attorney general, Michael Henry. You could find out. Hey, you know, I'll be honest. If Tish James runs for governor next year and there's an open seat for attorney general, you never know. The Republicans might have a chance at picking that one up. You never know. Bernie and Sid coming up at 6. Ryan Gosling isn't a Barbie girl, but he could be a Ken. A report from Deadline says the actor is in final negotiations to portray the counterpart of the iconic Mattel doll in the upcoming Barbie movie. It'll star Margot Robbie as the title character of Barbie and then be directed by indie filmmaker Greta Gerwig. Deadline reporting that Gosling initially passed on the role, but after Warner Brothers' persistence, the actor's schedule opened up. The film's production is anticipated to begin next year. And one more thing. Rhode Island is gearing up to host a medical marijuana dispensary lottery. Officials say a blindfolded former FBI agent will pick 5 dispensaries' names from a tumbler on Friday. Those selected will then get to open a store in one of 5 locations across the state. The selection process will also be live streamed in order to ensure a fair process. Almost two dozen businesses have submitted almost 40 applications. As of now, the state only has 3 dispensaries. All right, that slams the lid on things for today. Bernie and Sid are next. You want to stay in touch with me, you can find me on Twitter at Frank Morano. That's Frank, M-O-R-A-N-O. Or you can email me, frank.morano@wabcradio.com. Stay safe with all these flash floods. Have a great day, everybody.